Thirst Trap by Gráinne O'Hare, read by Susie Crothers. For my friends, with love. My own brain is, to me, the most unaccountable of machinery. Always buzzing, humming, soaring, roaring, diving, and then buried in mud. And why? What's this passion for? Virginia Woolf. They were not perfect, but they were my friends. Girl Interrupted. Part 1. Any Old Moment. It is almost midnight, and the three of them are trying to persuade a member of the door staff to let them bring a houseplant into the nightclub. Maggie, Harley, and Rosha take turns to explain that the plant was a birthday present given earlier this evening by a friend that went home around 9, apparently blind to the practical challenges of accommodating a cactus on the dance floor. Rosha turns 30 next week and was informed by the gift giver that this particular breed is known as an old lady cactus, on account of its white cobweb of spines. Maggie resents overhearing this information. The sea urchin crown of the plant has, in her mind, taken on the earnest personality of an elderly woman for whom Maggie now feels responsible, despite Rosha having been assured that it doesn't need much watering and should in fact thrive on neglect. They are allowed eventually to check the plant into the cloakroom with their jackets, and Harley pays the attendant with a £5 note she has folded into eighths to stop it springing back scroll-wise. In the club, Maggie notes with disappointment that the spinning pole has been removed from its plinth on the dance floor. Maggie has been coming here with Harley and Rosha since they were 18. She once engaged the pole too aggressively in a dance tribute to Wham and needed medical attention for a bruised perineum. She claimed to the doctor that it was a cycling injury and had to sit on a ring-shaped cushion for a week afterwards, feeling like a humbled pet in a cone collar. That night had gone down as one of the greats in their group lore. They had gone into the town on a Friday afternoon, chasing a rumour that Jimmy Nesbitt was drinking at the Sunflower. The rumour turned out to be unfounded, and the night ended at 4 a.m. with Maggie injured and Harley getting off with two cast members from a touring production of Cats. Only Rosha had been uninvolved in the drama of it all. Spending that night on the edge of the dance floor with her face lit by the midnight fridge glare of her smartphone screen. Messaging her new boyfriend. She does not use a smartphone anymore. Her new phone is an old phone without any apps or features. Her then new boyfriend is her now ex-boyfriend. The two things are not unrelated. Harley offers Maggie and Rosha a hit of her MDMA in the club toilets in the same casual way you might ask, "Should we get a flatbread to share?" As a rule, Maggie declines when people offer her recreational drugs, citing a previous bad experience, which she hopes make it sound like she did something fiercely rock and roll, like smoking a load of crystal meth and waking up on an ostrich farm in Lurgan 4 days later. Her friends have pointed out that Lurgan is not remotely rock and roll, nor does it, to their knowledge, have an ostrich farm. "No, but you get the gist," Maggie says. When Maggie claims she had a bad experience, she means that her sole previous experimentation with illicit substances was at a house party in the Holy Lands many years ago when she accepted a bump of coke that turned out to be heavily cut with washing powder. She sneezed and it stung with a flowery freshness. It is not an experience she has been keen to repeat. This time, Maggie accepts a line from Harley and it feels like someone has pushed a cocktail umbrella up one nostril and opened it inside her head. Harley is cursing, her face performing a montage of elastic contortions like an actor preparing to go on stage. Lion face, lemon face, lion face, lemon face. Rosha is ostensibly unaffected by her own line until a single traitorous tear crawls out of the corner of her eye. "Oh, fuck me," Harley rasps,